This episode is sponsored by Blue Chew. Blue Chew is making waves and bringing more confidence to the bedroom. Check out our special deal. Try Blue Chew for free and use the promo code TMS at checkout. Just pay $5 shipping. That's BlueChew.com with the promo code TMS to receive your first month free. Coming up on TMS, join for the meat, stay for the gravy.
Mars rover, let dirt cub over.
How to gently scold a lynx.
Look at my wand!
I don't like Logitech G-Hub.
A pipe bomb for a boy is a little on the nose, don't you think?
Grandma Butterbean fell out today.
She was a Nunco Pop.
I will rip off my clothes, please put it in me.
Beautiful assistants never have a name.
Three corpses and a soundboard was my college porn website name.
One-eyed weirdos on Mars.
A 3-inch wide rabbit hole.
Reuben smells like beef. And more on this episode of The Morning Stream.
You know, in several girls' colleges, they have a course in good grooming for which they give regular college credit. And believe it or not, one full period is devoted to teaching girls how to wash their faces. But you don't need to go to college to learn that.
Wow, that's the best soup I've ever had.
It's whiskey. The Morning Stream.
The Morning Stream with Scott and Brian and a caveman.
Guten Tag, everybody, and welcome to TMS. It is the Morning Stream for Thursday, February 25th. Holy crap, are we almost at the end of the month? Jeez.
Yeah, like three more days. Four more days if you include today of this month. Is that crazy or what?
That's crazy. This is about a year ago now. All of our fantastic government officials were telling us that coronavirus was nothing to worry about. Remember that? That was
that's
great.
Right. That's right.
We've got we're it under control. On. It's like one guy. It's fine. It's all under control.
Yeah, exactly. Eh, little sunlight. It'll be fine. Fine.
Yeah. Anyway, so here we are on the other side of that.
Let's not hope that we're not like going to look back at this in here and say, when we get the vaccine, everything's going to be fine. Remember when we said that? Mm-hmm. Remember when we thought that once we got the vaccine, everything would be fine?
I mean, I'm ready now. Let's go. Give it to me.
I'm ready now.
I'll rip my clothes off and hold my arm right here in your face and say, please.
I don't think you know how the vaccine works, Scott.
I just want my jab to get it over with. Yeah. Have it done. Yeah. Even though I've got this little tiny head cold right now, I'd take the jab now and get more sick on top of it. I don't care. Just give it to me. Give it to me.
Nah, you and I are, we're not in any of those first few tiers, Scott.
No, we're not. Although, exactly. If I went right now and ate an entire box of Krispy Kreme donuts, I might put myself into that higher risk category if I just did
that. Yeah, I mean, the weight card is one that we can play.
No, not weight. Sugar, man. Sugar. They put you up there.
Okay.
If you can get yourself into full diabetic mode, they'll bump you way up.
Diabetic shock. Yeah, right. There you go.
Yeah.
Sure.
So let's just fill up on a dozen greasy potato-based sugar donuts.
Well, it's funny you say that. We'll talk to Bobby Frankenberger about it in a little bit, but Krispy Kreme came out with a Mars donut in honor of... Perseverance.
Wow.
Landing on Mars.
And is it what separates it from the regular donut? Is it
it's red.
Yeah.
It's
dirt.
Got some crumbly crumbles on it that make it look like Mars, and it's take you 7 minutes to eat it.
Okay, perfect. And now if I put two on my eyes, will I look like Ronnie Cox on the surface of Mars and Total Recall?
You will, yes. Ask to Mars.
I need to kind of see that that thing. LC Knight says, as a diabetic who lost a body part, please don't. No, I'm not gonna, man. I'm not gonna. I'm just saying. Just put it in my arm is what I'm saying. And also, there is a list now. So you can get on this list here in Salt Lake City. I know this is true in other places. Jury's doing it in Oakland. You can get on a list. So here's what happens. If somebody in the high-risk groups cancels... or can't get the shot for some reason, or is sick and can't go in and get it. There's lots of reasons why you might miss your appointment. If you get on this list so that they don't waste those shots, they will call you and say, hey, Grandma Butterbean fell out today, so come on down and get your shot. So we're on a list, but I don't have a lot of faith that it's going to get to us ever. So
no, I have I'm on a list now. So basically there is SCL, I think it's SCL that I'm on a list for here. Basically the requirement is you have to be within 15 minutes of an SCL hospital so that they can say, oh, we've got extra doses. All right, get the word out and zoop, everybody comes, right?
Yeah.
And or at least they send it out to a subgroup of that and say, all right, we've got 50 doses, send this out to 75 people or something.
Sure.
According to Google Maps and Apple Maps and all that stuff, I'm 17 minutes away from an SCL hospital.
Oh.
Now, the way I drive, I think I can do it in 12.
I was going to say, because you could shave some of that off with the way you drive.
I can easily shave some of that off. I know ways.
Yeah. People are like, hey, but, Brian takes 10 hours to get to Salt Lake for Nerdtacular, but really, he's here in 7 or something like that.
That's exactly right. Yes. Yeah. There's long stretches of that Wyoming highway before you get to Little America.
Yeah.
And after Little America, you can fly.
It's like that song, Wyoming Highway. I never want to drive on you all night long. Is that how it goes?
That's exactly right. Yes.
Okay. Uh-huh. All right. I've been practicing.
From the Disney Pixar movie, Trucks.
Fantastic.
Vehicles.
Excellent. Vehicles. Check out Vehicles, everyone. Coming to a screen near you. So, hey, here's the deal. I had a weird dream. Got to share it because it involved you. All right. Weird dreams lately, but I haven't shared them on the show because they weren't that weird.
Yeah, I go from being excited and flattered to being apprehensive and a little concerned.
Well, you might be with this one. Well, maybe not, because the dream did not hose you over like it did me. So Brian in my dream is a up and coming magician. Okay. And he's starting to get real big, like just traveling all over the place, getting specials made where you're like, you know, 2 hour special on, oh, wait, I got to turn the camera on you. Do that again. Okay. Wow. It's mesmerizing, truly.
That's right.
Where'd you get that, by the way? What is that? It's a old-fashioned wand.
Magician supply store.
Yeah. Why did they ever look like that? Whose idea was it? I don't know.
Yeah, what's the point of like a black wand with two white tips?
Yeah. Always wondered about that.
I don't know.
Always wondered.
Because it's... Number one, it's probably something you can hide a bouquet of roses in easily, like one of those pop-up bouquet of roses things.
Oh, sure.
Also, because the tip, even though it's not lit or anything, because it's white, and especially in front of like a black tuxedo or a black jacket, would stand out. So it's easy to follow, like, you know, right now.
Oh, yeah.
Everybody watching me is mesmerized by what I'm doing right now.
Oh, you yeah, I can't look away. Honestly. Focused. Yeah, I can't look away. Oh, wait, there's a Tempest machine. Never mind, I can look away. but anyway, yeah, so that thing is has been around my whole life, and I swear I've never really understood why it looks the way it does. But now that you mention it, those guys were always in top hats and tuxedos, and this just matches that. So I guess that's what that's what you do. But no one uses wands anymore. David Blaine doesn't get up and go, look at my wand. He doesn't do any of that.
Magicians don't, but you know what? I still see Penn and Teller doing. As a matter of fact, when I did the masterclass, the Penn and Teller masterclass, that's what actually made me pick up this wand, because it is a distraction. Like while you're doing this with this, you know, I've already stolen your watch and your wallet with this hand.
Right.
While you're focused on this whole thing, this business over there.
The ultimate in misdirection is what you got there in your hand.
Exactly.
So this fits really well if you took that masterclass, because this all makes sense now. So I don't know why I'd placed you in this position in the dream, but you've got a passing interest.
But apparently I've trained. This is the dream I've been training for my entire life, Scott.
Right, right. Finally, that masterclass was worth every penny. So in the dream, you're just this up-and-coming magician. Nobody can stop talking about you. You perform mainly in Vegas, but you're all over the country. For some reason, COVID-19 doesn't exist in my dream. That's great. And you're just on fire. Tonight Show, like in the dream, you are on all the major talk shows and nighttime shows and all this stuff. And part of your act, though, or an integral part of it, is I am your assistant. But I'm not just your assistant. I'm not like Teller to Penn or, you know, one of those kind of partnerships on stage.
Mm-hmm. Right, right, right.
I'm the old school. I'm sorry, I should have mentioned this. I'm a lady in this dream.
Okay.
Okay. And I've got the full on, like, little short, like, Rockettes dancer uniform assistant thing.
Oh, please tell me you've got, like, a headdress.
Oh, not a headdress, but like a top hat, like an oversized top hat.
Oh, yeah. Oh, do you look like Zatanna?
Yes. That character, the DC character Zatanna, I look like her.
Yeah. Okay.
That's funny you mention her. I just saw her. I just read her in a story. Anyway, so I look like this, and I'm this lady, and I don't know my name in there, that we never talk about names. So you're not like the wonderful Bibbit or anything. There's no names.
You're my beautiful assistant. Right. They never have a name. Yeah.
Right. So in the dream, it's great because you're having all the success and everything. And it was almost like a montage of this dream. It was just like one after another, and we're on stage, and there's almost like music behind us, and we're showing off all this stuff.
Oh my God, please tell me it was either Hocus Pocus by Focus or Magic by Pilot was the montage music.
That's the funny thing is I have zero memory of the music, but I would have liked maybe Blur's, what's that
song? Song number two. Yeah. Basically, the only song you know by Blur.
Yeah, that one. The one that they used for all the trailers in the 80s or 90s.
I think, Hammond and I need to do Blur for Soundography and make you listen to that episode so you can realize that they had a bunch of great songs that weren't that song number two.
How about the guys that do the best? This is something in the sky. Those guys, the one, the cover, not the original, but the
Spirit of the Sky is what you're talking about.
How's it go?
Yeah, Norman Greenbaum's Spirit in the Sky. Doctor and the Medics did a cover of that.
That's who it is. Who was the popular 80s one? Was that Doctor and the Medics?
Doctor and the Medics.
What else did they do? Nothing else?
Nothing.
Okay, so that one I'm okay. I'm safe on that one. All right.
Yeah, you can use Doctor and the Medics as your one-hit wonder. There you go.
I didn't even know their names. All right, so anyway, this is where things turn weird in the dream. This is where things get a little
odd. We haven't gotten to that yet. Yeah. All right, good.
So I'm this lady going, getting cut in half and doing all the stupid stuff that you stereotypically see the lady assistant do. We're going along with our little montage, and at one point part of the thing was, and I've seen this in some acts where you flip the script and say the amazing Brian is getting inside the box.
Sure.
And yeah. I, the beautiful female assistant, am going to do the thing that you would normally do to me. So you got into a box, and it was one of those stab a million swords into the box. To make it look like there's no way this didn't stab through them or whatever. And most of the time when you see that trick, there's like blood coming out the other side to make it look like you've really stabbed through this person. And at the end, you'd fling it open and they're just fine. Mm-hmm. They made it through or whatever after you take all the knives.
Or sometimes it's even, we push up the curtain drops and I'm standing there and my beautiful assistant is now in the box.
Oh, right. Yeah, there's another twist on that. Well, in this particular case, we didn't get that far. That may even been what the trick was supposed to be, but we didn't get that far because after I put all the knives in and everybody in the audience was like, ooh, ah, ooh, whatever. Then I was like, all right, now I'm going to take them all out. Schling, schling. All these big swords are covered in blood. And then I pull them all out and I separate the box and it's just your bloody punctured corpse. You're just dead. You're just laying
there. All of a sudden, this is the Prestige.
Yeah. It didn't work. The trick didn't work. You were killed. And got like, immediately like Keystone style cops that had Irish accents rushed to the stage and grabbed me. Ah, that'll be enough of that, Missy. You're coming down to the station with us kind of thing. And that was it. That was the dream. I killed you on stage at the height of your popularity. You were just starting to hit the huge time. You were going to be David Blaine level freaking monster hit magic guy of all time. And I killed you with our trick. And then I got carted off to jail. That was the dream. What do you think of that? What do you think that?
Oh my God, that's it. Really, it did get dark, Scott.
I know. What would you? How do you interpret it? What do you think it means?
Yeah. You are worried. I don't know. I was gonna say you're worried that you're gonna do something wrong, and Film Sack basically will be three corpses and your soundboard. This is what's going to happen.
Three corpses and a soundboard is my new podcast coming out.
it's the new John C. Dvorak podcast that he's starting up.
Now Benji in the chat, or Benjen, says, stop eating before bed. I don't eat before bed. I stop. I have this rule. I don't eat past 7. Once 7 o'clock rolls around, And that may change here and there in normal times, but, you know, because you go out with friends or something on a weekend or whatever. But but for the most part, I'm done. 7 o'clock rolls around. I have eaten all I'm going to eat. I don't care if I'm starving at nine. I'm just not going to eat. So I don't think that's it. Unless this is a problem with me not eating enough before bed. And this is my brain freaking out because it's feeling undernourished.
I don't think so. That doesn't seem like a real... That doesn't seem like a thing. Like, you're not eating enough before bed.
Probably not.
Never. Yeah.
Probably not. You're probably right. So anyway, it's a weird thing. Interpret away, everybody. I have no idea what it means, but probably nothing. It probably means nothing. But the other thing is, even though you're like the main part of this act, I couldn't. Well, actually, I don't think I did either. I think you and I were both mute the entire time of the entire dream.
Really?
Yeah.
Like, we didn't say, and now, ladies and gentlemen, I will be blah, blah, blah,
blah, blah, blah. No, it was like almost like mime work. We were like kind of teller, sort of, just sort of doing it all and making faces and sticking you in the box and holding up a sword and looking at it, but not saying anything. That was part of this dream. But also, it was a part of all of the dream, meaning in between stuff.
Yeah.
Now it's hard to make sense of it, but at the time it all felt sort of real, but all anything. We just didn't talk. Not just to each other at all, to anybody. It was just like a silence, which makes no sense given what we do every day. So
it does seem odd, yeah.
I don't know. I don't know what to make of it. But maybe Bobby does. So we're going to bring him in, get his scientific opinion.
I like that, yes. Maybe Bobby doesn't do any dream translation, but I don't know. Maybe he could.
You never know.
I think science is cool.
I think science is cool as well. But it's cooler when we have Bobby Frankenberger on the show on Thursdays and we talk a little bit about science. Bobby, welcome to the show. How are you?
I'm doing well. You know what I would like science to get figured out already?
What's that?
How to make Logitech G-Hub remember my damn setting.
All right.
Logitech G-Hub is it's the worst.
It's the worst.
Sometimes you can't quit it. Sometimes it just hangs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Sometimes you can't open it unless you have it in the taskbar and you right click and then open it instead of, I don't know, whatever.
I don't know what their problem is. It doesn't seem like it should be that hard, especially for a company who makes really great peripherals. Like, they've made, I prefer Logitech mice to all other mice. I've used them for as long as I can remember on everything from my oldest PCs to my most current PC over here to this Mac I'm using right now to everything I use that needs a mouse. I use Logitech products. Why they can't make a simple background utility work well.
Exactly. Because they're a hardware, they know hardware really well. They don't know software.
Maybe they just don't know. Maybe there are actually people at Logitech sitting in their cubicles, wringing their hands and pulling out their hair, saying, "I wish there was just a way that we could save the profiles between user sessions."
Yeah, it has this way of like, on my PC, I have that blue Yeti microphone that's got the World of Warcraft stuff on it, and I really like it, but it loses. I have this setting I like for streams and I set it there and I should be able to set it and forget it. But if I reboot this PC, I got to go reset all that again. And that shouldn't be the case. G-Hub.
Shouldn't have to do that. No, exactly.
Freaking sounds like a rapper anyway. G-Hub.
G-Hub.
Yo, G-Hub. Throw us some rhymes, G-Hub. Anyway. Hey, Bobby, it's good to have you here. We're not going to complain about G-Hub or Logitech for very long here. Instead, we're gonna do a little bit of a follow-up. Last week, we talked about it was a little bit of a pre-show for the launch of, what's it called? Not Discovery. Curiosity. No.
Perseverance.
Curiosity is the one that's already there.
Yeah.
I actually have a question about that, so we'll get that in a second. But it was prior to that, you were going to do a live stream, which you did, and all this stuff happened. Mm-hmm. And by all measures, big success, right? Everything happened the way it needed to happen.
Yes, thank goodness. Yeah.
Yeah.
It landed safely.
No crashes, no like literal crashes, no software glitches. Like, they got video back, they got audio back, they got all the stuff they wanted, right? Like, no.
Well, they haven't gotten audio back, and we can talk about that if you want.
Oh, we should.
I thought we'd heard like a wind, like a.
All right.
So,
see, now
here's
this
the
is
thing.
It.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Lay it on us.
No, it was so almost right away, before there were actual real HD images coming back, there was a video that went around on social media, went viral, of the first Perseverance panoramic view and audio from the surface of Mars. And it was this video of just the panning through a panoramic view, and you heard wind on the surface of Mars.
It also said Curiosity on the side of the photo, but anyway, keep going.
Exactly. Yeah. So there's your first hint
that
it's the wrong rover. because the images, the panoramic was from Curiosity. We hadn't even gotten any images from, I mean, it takes, everything on Mars happens really slow. So we hadn't even gotten like images from their main cameras yet from Perseverance before this thing went viral. And that was from Curiosity. And the sound wasn't even sound from Perseverance does have a microphone on it, but it hasn't been cranked up and it's not using it yet. But we have another lander that landed on Mars some years ago called InSight. And it was sent there to do seismic readings of looking for earth signs of earthquakes and geological stuff happening on Mars. And some years ago, one of the scientists working on the InSight project realized, oh, there's this weird sound coming from it, and or this weird reading coming from it, this data coming in. And they realized that it was actually picking up seismic information from the metal case of InSight being blown by the wind. And so they converted that into sound. And this was years ago.
Right. A long time ago. And so this got used and then went viral. And then everybody's like, oh, listen to the cool new sound. But none of it was real. It was just a fake freaking post. And I was immediately annoyed. I was so annoyed. I'm like, gosh, dang it. We're even with science, we're shitty at this. Can we please stop with the stupid misinformation just to get likes and hits and views and stuff? Like, can we just have the real thing?
Blame all the news outlets, too, because they just ran with it. They were like, this is amazing. And then they just sent it to all the people.
Drives me crazy. It's a horrible human foible. Okay, but here's the thing. How do you know, unless something comes from NASA, reliable NASA sources, is anything else even worth following? Like, who else can I trust?
Well, so this is a lesson in modern day, like, being able to tell what's fake and what's not. You can't always be plugged into the primary source all the time, right? Because, well, NASA's, they've got a PR department, but what they're there to do is the science that they do. So they're not always trying to focus primarily on sending the news out to everybody. So you do need to be able to rely on news sources for this information. But when something comes out, like, always just kind of read through it and see if it sounds plausible, and then go back. And if it's a reputable news source, they're going to have their sources in the article. Mm-hmm. And if they don't have any, then there's a chance that maybe if the sources they have listed are just a tweet, then you want to take that worth, you know, a grain of salt and be a little skeptical about it.
A grain of Mars sand is what you should take.
That's right. Exactly.
Okay. So clearly,
I love this photo that you put in our chat, by the way, I'm going to share.
Yeah, I put it up there because that's all that we have right now.
That's amazing. I'm like zoomed in. I'm looking for Matt Damon somewhere in here.
He's doing
that.
Poop,
is the
potatoes.
Real panoramic view that we did get just a couple of days ago from Perseverance. It is the HD, the first HD picture from Perseverance that is very high definition and pretty cool.
There it is. So you can see him. He's way over there in the middle. He's pooping on a potato. Look.
He's right there. Yes.
Yeah. That's awesome.
But it is interesting how you look at this and say, yeah, this could be a place on Earth, right? I mean, there's nothing here that doesn't look like a dirty, dusty, deserty section of Earth.
Well, that's funny you say that, because the other thing I wanted to talk to Bobby about is there are rampant rumors around the conspiracy world, big shock there, that this was filmed in my very own Utah desert.
Really?
Yeah, that the entire landing, because they've got video of like it landing, the underside, the dirt getting kicked up, all that stuff, and they're like, they did that in Moab or whatever.
What's going to be enough for these people? Like, do they need to go there and see?
Well, that's the thing, Brian. I think that's what you have to kind of accept and understand, is that probably there won't be enough.
There won't be enough for.
Yeah.
For
there's a saying that I really like. It's one of my favorite sayings. I repeat it all the time. I will again now, which is, it's a paraphrased thing. It's that You cannot reason someone out of a belief that they did not reason themselves into. And that's kind of where people are with a lot of this stuff. We could talk forever. You've talked about it with Wendy a bunch of times about where these kinds of beliefs come from. But bottom line is that people are going to believe what they're going to believe when it comes to that kind of stuff. And you just got to be like, okay, you do you.
Sure.
And we'll do science.
Well, plus we tend to take advantage of those people in other ways, like those monoliths, the monolith that showed up in southern Utah and then later copycat one showed up in other places. Like, there's a good example of somebody just stoking that instinct in people, you know, just saying, mysterious enough and remote enough and just weird and random enough, then somebody somewhere is going to go, ooh, that must be a thing. Cause it can't be a coincidence. You know, like they start to, like you said, reason themselves into that corner. And I hate when we perpetuate it more, because there are people just doing this stuff for the lulz. Somebody posted that audio combination panoramic thing and then knowingly said, oh, this is from the new thing, and knew it wasn't. But why did they do it? They did it to either get a rise out of people. They did it for the lulz. They did it for the clicks. They did it for the views.
The likes.
And we gave them exactly what they freaking wanted. So all of their little base human needs got, all those boxes got ticked. And now we're all ticked because we fell for it, and it drives me freaking nuts. So I'm going to just go straight to NASA sources when I can on this stuff. I don't want to be fooled into thinking I'm hearing, because I mean, look, you can't blame people for the excitement of like, no way, we have sound. Oh my gosh, I want to hear what another planet sounds like. Let's hear this wind. Yeah, let's hear this stuff. Mm-hmm. And it's such an exciting thing, right? But we got to stop doing this to each other. What are we doing?
Yeah. Part of it, but also it to me sort of highlights why it's so important to send these rovers to Mars and to get these really good images back, because you looked at the picture, Brian, and you thought it looks like you could easily convince someone that this was taken in the Utah desert.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't think about, it's another planet, right? It seems so foreign and exotic to us. Mm-hmm. We don't think about the fact that it actually apparently is a pretty familiar looking place. And so the more we can look at it, the more we can learn about it, and the more we can experience, the more we understand and get a realistic idea of what's going on there.
Yeah, so that's the whole point.
That's
right?
A really good thing.
Yeah. The whole point is to take our quote unquote curiosity and parlay that into knowledge. So let's get out there and get soil samples. Let's see if we can actually find water that isn't just trace amounts of, you know, molecular whatever in the soil. Let's get actual, all the things that we keep pining for, and now getting to do it with technologies that allow for, albeit slow, to get back to us, but nonetheless HD video and apparently sound when we want it, when they decide to fire that up or whatever. Like, all of these things are so rad and so cool. It's just easy for people to get too out far ahead of it and go, you see that up there on that panoramic view up on that mountain up there? I think I see a man. I think there's a man on Mars.
You know, yesterday we had the American Airlines flight that saw something cylindrical fly over their plane New Mexico, northeastern New Mexico.
Great. New Mexico, of course, is where that happened.
Of course, New Mexico. Right. Yeah.
That's fantastic. Did they have anybody get shots of that in kind of a...
Surprisingly, no. But
weird.
But the pilot's the one who reported it. It wasn't like somebody on the plane saying, there's a gremlin on the wing.
Yeah.
You'd think if there were aliens visiting Earth, that we, with the advent of smartphones, would have so much more evidence. Photo evidence.
You think? Yes, exactly.
I just think this concept.
No one seems to ever have their smartphone handy when this happens.
Like, if we, let's just say, you know, because that's science fiction is for. It's for us to explore these concepts and ideas and have fun with them and whatever, and entertain ourselves, scare ourselves, whatever. But let's say that rover's riding around, and in a week from now we get video back. It ran into a small mud hut village full of one-eyed weirdos, okay? Let's say that happened. Sure. Let's say we actually saw it and was like, oh, life on Mars.
Just immediately go to the fact that they're weirdos. Look at you with your xenophobia just in full view.
Stay on your own damn planet.
Sort of thing. Go back to your own planet.
But like, if we did that and saw that, I tried to think about, okay, well, then we're the aliens, you know, in another context. Oh, yeah. We're the aliens visiting them. Yeah. Would we be all mysterious and only be a slight flash in the sky once in a while? And would we only be, ooh, I'm pretty sure there was a bright light over Texas today. I think that was a UFO. Like, how would we be perceived? It wouldn't be so cryptic. It would just be, oh, look at that rover. Or there's a crawling rover. And even if they don't know how to define it, maybe they're very primitive. They just see it and go, ah, they would start to see it as like some kind of walker god or, you know, I don't know what they'd do. But that fascinates me, right? Because we always think that whenever we think we're seeing aliens here, it's always like Bigfoot. Can't see shit. I know I was probed. How do you know? I just know it. My butthole's 3 inches bigger than it was when I came here. You know, this sort of thing. Anyway.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So you want to know, first of all,
did we go down a rabbit hole far enough for you there, Robbie? Fish us out.
A 3 inch wider rabbit hole, yes. So if you do start hearing things coming from Mars about what we've gone and found and everything in the next month or so, know that that's probably not like if it's the rover's not going anywhere for about 60 days. Everything happens slow on Mars. The first thing that they're going to do on Mars is actually test the first helicopter on Mars, Ingenuity. Did you know that they have a helicopter on Mars now?
I did. No. It's how they got the long shot on that thing dropping, right? It was like a
helicopter is not out yet.
Oh, what am I thinking of then? There's a satellite or something then, is what I'm thinking.
Yeah, there's
a helicopter drops this summer. Like and subscribe.
Wow. It's satellite images is how they saw the it falling in.
That's right, because they've got some orbiter around that planet.
There's a couple of them. Yeah,
yeah. I think that stuff's so cool. Like, it is really. Anything, what it tells, like the things that are making people go, I could do that in the desert, are the things to me that make me go, man, it's not, you know, like it's dirt. It's dirt of another place, a whole nother place. But it's dirt that didn't come from here, at least not in a last few billion years sort of way. Maybe ultimately at the biggest bang, perhaps we all came from the same dirt. But the point is that, like, it is recognizable matter, and it is an atmosphere, although thin, but still you see it and go, yeah, okay, it's relatable in some ways to me. This isn't so foreign. Yeah. It's not like landing on a planet in no man's sky and going, these aliens have 8 penises. Like, it's not happening that way. I don't know why.
You don't have, like, giant mushrooms coming out of the ground and stuff like
right,
that.
Right, right, which would be cool, don't get me wrong, but...
It would be cool in its own right, but you're right. It is one of the such exciting things about it is it is so familiar.
Right.
And that raises the opportunities and the chances that we could really learn something about ourselves from there and what life is like and how similar or different it might be in other parts of the solar system or galaxy and universe, you know, larger still. So it's very exciting.
It is very exciting. Now, here's one thing I know. There is a podcast that exists on this planet and maybe on Mars. I don't know. I don't want to speak to it, but it's called All Around Science. And I know a guy who hosts it. His name is Bobby Frankenberger, and he's right here. So, Bobby, tell us more about your podcast and why that's a great place to get good facts on things that are happening on Mars or elsewhere.
Well, as you said, we just did, we recorded a live episode right before while we were waiting for Perseverance to land. That just came out on Monday, and you can get that at allaroundscience.com or just check out All Around Science, you know, on a podcast app, wherever. That's the name of the podcast, so
get it.
Yeah, exactly. And we talk about new things that are in science news all the time, and then we just take deep dives sometimes in our own pet science interest. We just talk about science and get excited about it. So,
All Around Science, scientifically proven to be about science. Hey, check it out, everybody. Go check it out wherever you get your podcast. Bobby Frankenberger, have a fantastic week. We'll see you next time.
Bye. Thank you, Bobby.
Okay. Good stuff with Bobby there.
Good stuff.
Yep.
Absolutely.
He's, no offense to everybody else. He's my favorite AMTP alumni. He was my vote.
Yeah.
Again, no offense to the rest of y'all.
Except
y'all
for
are
Monica.
Great. Y'all are great. Oh, yeah.
Except for Monica.
She's also great. So's Gidget's great. We love all of you guys. I'm just saying, you know.
Yes.
You're our, who's the successful person out of the season? No, wait. Second season of American Idol. Somebody was really successful.
Well, Clay Aiken did better than the guy that won, whose name was...
Beef Bruno.
Beef Bruno. See, Paul, that shows you.
Paul Jr. Larry as King Sr.
Somebody says
Sr.
it in chat. Ruben Studdard.
Ruben, yes, Studdard. Exactly. That's close. And Ruben has meat in it. I was thinking of that. Beef.
Oh, right. There you go. Yeah. Ruben Beef. Onion. What did you call him? Beef.
I don't remember now. Beef. I don't remember. It was like 5 seconds ago and I already forgot. Oh, Beef Bruno. Yeah. That was it. Anyway.
Dan Waller, you're thinking of Soul Patrol. You're thinking of Taylor. What was that guy's last name? Not Taylor Lautner. No, there was another guy who was the Soul Man guy, like who had the Soul Patrol thing. He was like season 4, maybe? Taylor Hicks.
Hicks. Thank you, Talia. Yeah. Right. And then there's that local dude here who did real well. And everyone loved him. Archuleta.
Archuleta. Oh, David Archuleta. Yeah.
Yeah. He was big for a minute.
Fantasia Barrino.
You're making me hungry for Mexican food. Barrino. Barrino, Archuleta. That sounds Mexican foodish.
Right, exactly.
Yeah. Mm, I could go for a smothered Archuleta.
Mm. Ooh, yes, an Archuleta, yeah.
That sounds good. A little
extra green chili on that, please.
Yeah, green chili, smothered Archuleta. Mm. All right. Hey, guys, time to talk about Blue Chew. Yeah, that's right. This episode is sponsored by Blue Chew. Blue Chew is making waves and bringing more confidence to the bedroom. Blue Chew is a unique online service that delivers the same active ingredients as Viagra and Cialis, but in chewable form and at a fraction of the cost. Tablets combat all forms of ED. It can help men gain extra confidence when it comes time to perform. Well, yeah. Blue Chew is an online prescription service with no visits to the doctor's office, no awkward conversations, no waiting in line at the pharmacy, and it ships right to your door in a discreet package. The process is super simple. Sign up at BlueChew.com, B-L-U-E, like the color, BlueChew.com. Consult with one of their licensed medical providers. And once you're approved, you receive your prescription within days. The best part? It's all done online. BlueChew's licensed medical providers work with you to find the right ingredient and strength of your prescription. Don't like swallowing pills? No problem here. Blue Chew's Sildenafil and Tadalafil tablets are completely chewable. Blue Chew's tablets are made in the USA, and they prepare and ship direct, so it's cheaper than a pharmacy. So if you could benefit from extra confidence when it comes time to perform, visit BlueChew.com for more details and important safety information. And they've got a special deal for you as TMS listeners. Try Blue Chew free when you use the promo code TMS at checkout. Just pay $5 shipping. That's BlueChew.com. Promo code TMS to receive your first month for free. And we thank Blue Chew for sponsoring the show. We're going to do this now. Time for a little bit of the news, and it's brought to you by...
We're going back. We're taking a time machine trip back to 1976 for today's Coverville. Going back to February 25th, 1976. That's what, like 45 years ago or something? I don't know. Yes, it is. To see what the biggest hits on the Billboard charts were. Stuff that you love, like Take You to the Limit by the Eagles, Love Hurts by Nazareth, Love to Love You Baby by Donna Summer, and Love Machine by The Miracles. But we're not going to listen to any of those versions, you silly people. No. We're going to listen to covers, because that's what we do on Coverville. Coverville.com, twitch.tv/Coverville is where you go to listen to it. 1 p.m. Mountain Time. At what I said, twitch.tv/Coverville. I can tell you again. Pay attention.
Yeah, it's fine. Look, you guys didn't write it down. Now's your chance to remember.
That's right. Should be a fun one. A lot of interesting stuff in 1976.
Sack Buttigon in the chat says he used my childhood Sack fear Buttigon. Noises. He doesn't like it when I play this like old school stuff. Like, he probably doesn't like this. That one probably doesn't like.
I totally dig that.
What's the other one? No, what is it? This one? All of those probably freak him out. That's fun. I'm glad.
Yeah, I like that. It's totally fine.
Yeah, I love
it. The Blonde Country Chick. Carrie Underwood. Oh, yeah. Daughtry did really, really well. Bo Bice. Bo Bice was actually the winner that season. What about Jennifer Hudson? She got an Oscar.
Oh,
or at least Oscar. Yeah,
so. Right. She did pretty well.
She I don't know what well. She's she wasn't doing now, a, she but. Wasn't an American Idol winner. I think the winners don't do as well as the runners up.
Yeah. But that year, the Kelly Clarkson, she did pretty good. She was like the exception. She,
well,
the
it
role,
was her and
know.
Justin Guarini.
Yeah.
Sideshow Bob.
Yeah. All right. Here's some news.
Brian. Yes, please.
Some breaking news.
I love this story too. Well, I don't love this story.
Yeah, but it's a little sad. I know what you mean, though.
It points to a big problem that we need to stop.
Yeah, we need to quit doing these. So here's an example of why: a gender reveal device exploded. I hate gender reveal parties. This ended up killing the dad who was going to be the father of this little kid. What a waste, Christopher.
That's horrible. Yes.
Christopher Peckney, age 28. Was assembling the device in the town of Liberty when it exploded just before noon on Sunday. This, by the way, happened in... this was in New York. UK, I think, right?
Oh, I thought it was in New York.
Nope, you're right.
New York State Police Department, yeah.
You're right. It's New Amsterdam. Just kidding.
It's funny because it's from the BBC.com under their World US Canada news. Mm. So yeah, it like could have been...
It is weird.
We got several places covered in that.
Plus, later they talk about the California fires and how some of that was sparked by these. So they're kind of all over the place. But anyway, police said the blast killed Mr. Penske, however you say it, Peckney. And injured his brother Michael, age 27, who was taken to the hospital. Gender reveal parties are celebrations announcing whether expected parents are going to have a boy or a girl. Police have not specified what device caused Sunday's explosion. New York State Police Department and its bomb disposal unit are investigating the incident. A spokesman for the state police told the New York Times that the device consisted of some kind of pipe without giving further details. Well, that to me sounds like a pipe bomb.
Pipe bomb. Yeah. That's how I would translate that. Pipe bomb.
Yep.
Pipe bomb? Not pipe bomb?
Not a pipe bomb.
Pipe bomb.
It says, speaking to the newspaper, his oldest brother, Peter, described what happened as the freakiest of freak accidents I could ever imagine. He did not know what had set off the explosion. The death is the latest in a string of catastrophes to be linked to gender reveal parties in recent years. They can include prediction games and the big reveal being made with fireworks and colored smoke grenades. My favorite thing when this happens, or my favorite thing I hear about what happens, is they'll go through all this rigmarole, even if it's a safe one, it's a balloon full of blue paint or whatever, like whatever they're doing. They pop it and they go, oh, it's a boy. And then I heard there was a case where they just straight up had a girl. Like...
After all that, the gender reveal was wrong.
Yeah, like they got it wrong. Like, what a waste of your time. And by doing that, everyone's gifts were boy related. Everything was like, you know, blue everything and whatever.
I just don't know why it has to be, why you know, it has to be anyone outside the family. Like, it doesn't have to be a big explosive announcement that gets likes on YouTube. Just, you know, have the family over. Oh, my sister made us a cake. She's been in touch with the doctor. Whatever the color of the cake inside is the gender of our baby, and that's all it needs
to be. Enough.
I think that's what the first one was.
Yes. And if it needs to be that, even if it needs to, if you need to even go that far, that's plenty. Like,
that's
we didn't
plenty.
Even do that.
And it doesn't
we were
need
just
to
like,
be videoed so you can, well, I mean, video it, sure. But it doesn't need to be publicly shared. Share it on your little family group, Facebook group or whatever. But
no, and our doctor told us, we just called people and said, hey, we're having a boy. The third one's a boy. We're done.
Yeah, exactly.
No party.
Exactly. There's a great podcast that I am pulling up right now because it is so good, but I can never remember the name of it. Decoder Ring. I believe And back in November of 2019, they had an episode about gender reveal parties where they interviewed the woman who did the very first one. And she's like, yeah, I really regret starting this. I think it's become such a bad idea. And it even goes into how these things in the society we're in now are becoming less and less relevant because, all right, you're born this gender, but maybe you're not. Maybe that's not what your sex is.
If the gender, if the stem's on the apple, great. If you got the vajay, great. The point is, sex and gender, like, here's the other thing. I got a friend named Tanya in high school. His name was Tony. She is now Tanya. She transitioned, okay? Presents as a woman now, has had a ton of surgeries, does all the things, like the full gamut of transition. She is a she, right? Mm-hmm. If they had had an explosive freaking gender party, what would that do? I mean, why? Right, why even right, bother? Right.
And thank you for the correction. That's what I meant to say is you're not born with a gender. You're born with either a penis or a vagina, but the gender.
Yeah, you got a Pedro or a Virginia or sometimes both. You know what?
That's right.
Some exactly. kids come out with just a flat nothing there because the something got effed up in the works and you got nothing. You know what I mean?
I think that's a Ken doll, Scott. I think.
I'm sure there's some case of somebody coming out without anything. That's happened, right?
Yes, exactly.
So
anyway,
the point is, like, stop doing it. It's so dumb.
Yeah. You're just you can do it, do it. You know, do a quiet little affair. It doesn't have to be a dangerous, life-threatening, in this case, life-ending, mishap potential business.
This is how I feel.
Couldn't come up with the last word in my sentence, damn it.
Business is always good. It's a good insert.
Business.
This is how I feel about prom day dates. We've talked about this before.
But yeah. I hate prom proposals. Promposals.
Yeah. I hate it. Mm-hmm. I hate it. Drives me crazy. So quit doing it, everybody.
Yeah.
Just big deal. So your son has a penis. So your daughter has a vajay. So they've got both. So you got a bunch of blue paint you need to get rid of. Whatever. Just stop doing it. And this guy would be alive. He'd be alive. Now this little kid, regardless of sex and or gender, has no dad.
Mm-hmm.
That's lame.
It's lame.
All right.
And sad.
It is sad and lame. Lame and sad. At the same time, it's lad. All right. Here's a story about a British Columbia man. Okay.
Yes.
It says BC farmer. I don't think they mean before Christ. Like, you know, we're not talking like caveman here.
I'd like to know is, like, back in those days when they were talking like BC, how did they know what they were counting down to? Like, they said, all right, we're in 27 BC. Next year will be 26 BC. What's going to happen at zero, man?
And what was the ball made out of then? Was it a rock? What was it?
Right. Anyway, BC farmer.
BC farmer, British Columbia. Uh-huh. Yeah. He's in northern British Columbia. These guys are pretty tough as nails type farmer dudes.
Sure.
This guy's proof of that. He grabbed a lynx by the scruff of its neck. This is a dangerous wildcat, okay? And scolded it for killing his chickens. He didn't even say sorry. He just said, hey, now, you done killed my chickens. What are you doing, eh? The farmer in northern British Columbia who caught a lynx in his chicken coop on Sunday did not react the way one might expect. He didn't grab a gun or yell at the wild animal. Instead, Chris Paulson grabbed the lynx by the scruff of the neck, lifted it off the ground, and scooped it from the coop. He then gave it a gentle scolding. He says, where is it?
A gentle scolding, not even a, wow.
the words he uses, he says, I just looked a bit like a kid with a hand on the chocolate chip bag, he says. He told the CBC in his home in Decker Lake, west of Prince George. So I gave him a little lecture. I don't know why he's Irish. Gave him a little lecture and then told him he shouldn't come back here to my chicken coop. And that was it. And there's a photo of this, by the way.
Is there?
Yeah.
Wait, is it a dramatic recreation or?
No, it's an actual.
Oh, he actually pulled out his phone and see, now this is good use of social media.
I agree. This is what
scold the lynx and then take a selfie with it.
Yeah. But look at that. That is like a serious ass cat.
The lynx does look a little regretful.
He looks embarrassed, right? Like, yeah, he doesn't want to really go back and tell the rest of the lynx is what happened.
Sorry, I know. This is bad. This is your chickens.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
I'm so sorry.
If you'll point me to some rabbits, I'll go find them, okay?
Yeah, I'll
just
do it.
Tell me where the rabbits are, I'll go.
The farm up the road, I could do them instead. I'll just not come get your chickens anymore, okay? Sorry about that. Yeah, he looks like a very sorry cat, but I'm telling you this right now. A lynx will tear your guts apart. This guy didn't seem to care, so there's that.
Wow.
Yeah. There's scary cats, man. Wild cats will rip you.
Which Apple release was Lynx? I don't know, but it was a rough one, man.
Did they do Lynx? I don't remember. Did they do that cat?
I don't remember if they did.
They did all the cats. So hold on. Panther. Cheetah.
Yeah. Cheetah.
Snow leopard.
Snow leopard.
Right. Mm-hmm. Jaguar. I think they maybe didn't do a Lynx. Oh, it's too bad. They missed out. Yep. Maybe that's because there's a car called the Lynx. Maybe
David Lyon. Yeah. No, it was rumored that 10-9 was going to be Lynx, but it wasn't.
Yeah, they switched it over to California bullshit. Places.
Yeah, mountains or whatever. Yeah.
Yeah. Which is fine. It's fine. It's
totally fine. Totally fine.
Moving on. Here's, this is great. So a Kiwi nun, meaning a nun from New Zealand. You know, they call themselves Kiwis.
Kiwi nun. Kiwi nun.
Yeah. Kiwi nun. You know, don't.
I've got some theories about who this Kiwi nun is.
They done left a message on 8chan last night. I'm pretty sure.
I'm trying to find out the identity of Kiwi nun.
Well, Kiwi nun, Sister Anne Marie, she breached COVID restrictions in Ireland.
Now you can use that accent.
Yeah, I can use that one now. To attend an exorcism. You still do them there in Ireland, do you? The New Zealand-born nun has been caught breaching COVID-19 restrictions in Ireland to attend this exorcism. The Irish Examiner reports Sister Anne Marie was one of a pair of nuns who broke COVID guidelines to attend this exorcism of the Dáil Before Christmas? Dale?
D-A-I-L, with an accent. And there's an accent over the A. Claire Gack, help us out.
Yeah,
D-A-I-L.
D-A-I-L. I have no idea.
The Dáil Before Christmas.
The Dáil Before Christmas.
Well, no, we know how to spell it. We see it here, Claire. You don't have to
We were all like, sitting about
it. She just retypes it.
Just, like, do a pronunciation guide for us.
What is a tree? Tree.
Tree. T-R-E-E.
T-R-E-E. the corpse.
Oh, it is pronounced Dale. Okay, cool.
Oh, so she's just saying Dale.
Her saying D-A-I-L was telling us, yeah, it's pronounced Dale.
'Twas the Dáil Before Christmas and all through the house. Not a monkey was stirring. I couldn't find me blouse.
I don't know how that goes. The Cork-based sisters, they were made of cork. I don't know if you've seen corkboard.
They were made
of
kiwi. Now, this is all getting a little confusing.
Yeah, it says cork-based. Whatever. Attended the exorcism in Dublin on December 8th. At the time of the inter-county travel was banned. Videos appeared online, which shows the exorcism and a subsequent mass in Herbert Park, South Dublin. Mother Irene Gibson of a group called the Carmelites.
If you're not too full from that Fantasia Burino, then can I interest you in a nice Carmelite sister?
Everything sounds like food. They are of the Holy Face of Jesus order. That's a new one. Was ordered to vacate the compound. At Curran South near the village of Leap in West Cork by next June. Man, you people over there, what are you doing with your names? Good
that
Lord.
That is one crazy essence.
That followed the 2019 conviction for breaching planning regulations. Oh, so they're already in trouble for other stuff.
Yeah, these nuns were on the run.
Yeah, they're running nuns.
Already on the run.
Yeah, nuns with the runs.
Hit us with that last sentence, Scott.
Okay, here you go. The Irish Times earlier reported Sister Anne Marie, formerly of Hannah Loman and Wingargirguni, professed her vows of obedience, chastity, and poverty in May of 2019 and became a Carmelite nun in the Holy Face of Jesus.
Nice.
There you go.
Wanganui.
Wanganui? Is that how you say it?
Wanganui. That would be my guess. I'm certainly not.
Wanganui.
Wanganui.
All right, I'm going to do one final story because I do have a little time over the hour, so we're okay.
All right.
This 105-year-old beat COVID-19, and she credits all of it to her gin-soaked raisins.
I kind of like that.
Raisins. That's a Carmelite nun right there is what that is. look at this lady, man. 105, still rocking it.
I can't because the New York Times wants me to log in and buy an account to see the photo of this lady that I saw for one brief second.
I must have. So somebody friended me or gifted me a year. I think I'm still on it.
Oh, nice.
Some fan was like, I'm not using it. Do you want it? I'm like, yeah, sure. I'll take it.
It should come automatically with my New York Times crossword subscription. By the way, I've decided.
Oh, I agree.
That I am going to pay the money and compete in the 2021 crossword puzzle championships.
That's a thing you can do, is it?
That's a thing I can do.
Wow. And what do you what does that entail? What do you have to do?
I will get a bunch of crossword puzzles that I have to complete. Oh, there's the picture of her.
Yeah, that's her.
I'll say it looks way better. From the little tiny thumbnail, it looked like she just had really big black eyes. She looked like a Funko Pop. But yeah, so crossword, what is it? Crossword. It's the thing that's Will Short's American Crossword Puzzle Tournament. That's right. The ACPT.
Oh, that's cool. I want it. Can yeah, is that
April
a thing?
April 23rd to 25th. It's going to be virtual this year, obviously, but
sure.
I've been getting so into the New York Times crossword puzzle. I think I certainly don't think I have a chance of like winning anything, but I want to see how I do.
What does it cost to compete?
I want to say it's like $199 or $250 or something. They haven't announced it yet because it's different this year since it's not a
virtual event.
But
So let me ask you: would you get anything else besides just a chance to compete with that money, or is that just to get in?
That's it. Yeah, I mean, basically, I get all the games, and then if I score higher, than other people in my bracket, you know, I'm also would be in the rookie bracket since this would be my first year.
Yeah.
Then there are prizes and things like that. But
interesting.
Yeah. So all events as a competitor, including Friday 240. All events as a competitor beginning Saturday morning 190, and I'd probably do. I will have to figure it out.
Yeah.
I
want you to stream it. I mean, you playing it.
Yeah, no, I think I would actually love to do that, right? And yeah. And basically I would turn off the chat because I don't want any accusations of, oh, he saw somebody posted the answer to 23 across in chat. He's cheating.
Yeah.
So basically I would do this completely.
How would they, how would you do that though without them?
There is no way for them to know that you're not looking answers up and
Yeah,
Googling.
They wouldn't
know.
Who is
the prime minister of Ghana?
Yeah. What nun belongs to the Holy Face of Jesus?
That's right, exactly.
Sister Anne Marie. Right.
All right.
Anyway, so I'm looking forward to trying it out and seeing how I do.
Well, try out these rum-soaked raisins as well.
Yes, I'll try that for sure.
Lucia de Cleric, who has now lived to be 105, she says she has a quick answer for why she survived. They left this out of the headline, but she says, prayer, prayer, prayer. And then she says, one step at a time and no junk food. Well, I'm out. But surviving the coronavirus, she said, also may have something to do with another single staple of her life, the 9 gin-soaked golden raisin she has eaten each morning for most of her life.
She eats 9 a day. I like this.
This keeps you regular, man. It'll keep your poo flowing.
It's supposed to help with arthritis. Look at that.
Oh. Well, she's got some knuckly knucks. She probably could use them. Sure. My mom, dude, she's had some form of early arthritis since she was like 38 or something. And
yeah,
to look at her hands, you wouldn't even know. I mean, they're alien claws. She has such
really
hands.
Yeah.
They don't hurt her anymore, which is weird.
Love this. Like, this is a whole different article that September 7th, 2020 came out, but basically has that recipe. Place a box of golden raisins into a shallow container. Cover the raisins with gin. Let the raisins soak in the gin for a few weeks until the gin evaporates. The raisins won't dry out, but will stay moist just like normal raisins. Eat 9 of these drunken raisins a day to help your arthritis.
Really?
Yeah.
Huh. Well, that's pretty interesting. So
yeah, I kind of like this.
Says, she goes, she fills a jar, 9 raisins a day. It sits for 9 days, she says. Her children and grandchildren recall the ritual of just one of Mrs. DeCleric's endearing lifelong habits, like drinking aloe juice straight from the container and brushing her teeth with baking soda. That worked too. She did not have a cavity until she was 99. What?
Wow.
Well, I'm way off that track.
What? What?
All
right, I'm going to try this.
Okay. Will you do it? Seriously, you should
do it. I'll totally do it.
All right.
Yeah, you don't get the alcohol evaporates, so I'm not going to get drunk from 9 raisins a day, but what the heck?
Yeah, you'd be fine.
I mean, is it just arthritis? That's it? Is there anything else that's supposed to help? I mean, I guess it's supposed to make me live to 105.
It'll give you good...
Do I want to live to 105?
It's good fiber, so you can have good regularity.
Yeah, this is true.
Yeah.
Do I keep it... Well, I guess I keep it sealed when I'm not eating my nine.
Right.
I guess, I'm guessing there's a kid that just arrived.
Yeah, sorry. Just waving at the boy. Hi, buddy. You're the one that gave me this cold. How are you? Now he's all embarrassed.
Want it back?
Yeah, you want that cold again? You want the mutated version? Here it is. Well, anyway, if you do that, we'll do them on the show, and that would be a hoot. Right. I would love that. Let's watch that.
Do my nine raisins.
Yep, get your raisins.
I'll start. I'll go pick up some golden raisins today. We'll start in then a couple weeks when they're good and plump.
So wait, what's a golden raisin?
It's one of those that's golden colored as opposed to dark brown or purple, shrivelly.
Are they from? They're from white grapes, probably, right?
Probably, okay. Yeah.
Okay. I want you to do me a favor, buddy.
Look at that kid's hair.
I know, he's got a lot of hair now. Here's our... Oh, okay.
Usually he's the one that hits your microphone.
Are you ready? Say... Well, he likes to touch it. Say, so... Oh, he's not going to do it. Say, you are so... You are so cute. I know you are, buddy. You're so cute.
Aww.
Oh, mama. All right. I'll see you guys in a bit. I didn't know we were going to see him today. Where was I? Oh yeah.
So this collateral for the refi.
Yeah. so she's not dead is the point. This lady has lived.
She's not dead, and she attributes it to prayer and shrunken raisins.
Yeah.
Love it.
Booze raisins. All right. We are going to take our leave. Like I mentioned earlier, we have to sign a thing today, so I will.
Yeah.
We have to end a little early, but Wendy, we'll be here next week, so don't worry about her. And also, we will have Trivial Things next week with our good pal, Gidget. So
that's right.
That'll happen. And lots of other stuff going on this weekend. There is a film sack this weekend, a triumphant return after a week off. We got...
Virtuosity.
Right. Some horrible 90s interpretation of tech and future tech and VR and stuff like that. Should be awful. Very excited about it. Never saw it, so this will be new to me. What else? The instance tomorrow is happening. We have a PM plan for 2:30 tomorrow, and the PM is our play date. So that means all of you can come and watch and play and hang out. We're going to be playing Among Us. So who will be suspect?
I think sus.
It was yellow. It was yellow.
It's time to break out the use of the word sus. Yeah,
break it out. Dust it off. Get ready for some Among Us. That's tomorrow right here at 2:30 Mountain at frogpants.tv. Okay, I think that's it. Everything else you can find over at frogpants.com/TMS. Oh. That includes our Patreon at patreon.com/TMS.
Don't forget our mashup.
We don't have one today, do we?
The South.
Shit, we have to play this. I can't believe I almost didn't play this.
I know, it's highlighted in red even.
In my head, I'm like, we're done with these. No, we're not. We have the accent finale. And this is the big one, too. This is the one that's going to get me in trouble. So...
get me in trouble too, I'm sure. Yeah,
we're both busted. Here's the one about the South. So we didn't just do a bunch of international accents on the show over all these years. We also made fun of ourselves. And by that, I mean the Southern states. So
that's right. Exactly. And by ourselves, we mean states far away from us.
Exactly. Drenched Wildfire says, racist mashup, yay. Oh, I don't know about racist. Stereotypes, yes. Unless what you envision as white hillbillyism as racist, then sure, I suppose. But here it is. Enjoy. See you on the other side.
I put an extra bullet in the hard drive. That's where I keep all my porn. I don't need all your book learning. F that. I got my gun and my dog.
Exactly.
What you're saying, it's okay to kill 50 dudes on screen, but you can't have a booby.
If we take care of ourselves.
Yeah, you put yourself in a good place physically, you might be just fine.
Hey, Larry, did you read the paper? I think they found your foot.
I ain't doing that. Didn't you hear what's-her-name get on the TV and tell everybody vaccinations are giving you government blood?
Everything's too gay for him.
I tuned in to see some boobs while I smoked my pot.
Yeah.
Ain't nobody got time for that.
There's a blue circle in that water, if you know what I'm saying.
We don't give no handouts. Y'all got to pull up your bootstraps and do it from fresh hell.
I'm glad you found that. That's quite the
find. When the myth takes me... and makes me dance naked on the Waffle House tables. I will not be afraid.
The next time I take bath salts and I go outside and expose my sexual organs, I will not be afraid.
I got a gun and I ate your cat.
Doesn't matter. Oh, there you go. Look at all them commas.
Lick, tick, there, there. I got to go over to Bill Dover's house to get some truck parts.
Everything just heat up on the stove.
Heat up on the stove and then you go, y'all want to just put it in your armpit and heat it up after a day or so? Y'all want to
eat? Hot dog, I got three of them cooking right now in my pit.
I got one in this pit, and a third one down in my crotch. Y'all want a crotch dog?
Crotch dog. Hey, I like fireworks. Fireworks are great. Patriotic, and if you don't like it, you're un-American. Yep, I'm a sperm donor, but I won't masturbate.
Yeah.
It's only
I won't do
natural
it.
Delivery.
I want some video of this. Hey, Bill, why don't you film the whole damn thing?
You know, I was going to throw that lawnmower out, but, you know, it'd be a much better idea.
Yeah,
is
we
to,
shoot that shit.
Take it and fill it up with Tannerite and go shoot it in the woods.
That's right. Let's take it out back, Billy.
Bill, you got anything else that you want to throw away we can fill up?
So many Southern listeners are mad at us right now.
I'm sure they are.
We love the South. I married a girl from Mississippi.
Yeah, you don't... See, well, Muffy, I think I'm going to take the lawnmower out back, fill it with Tannerite, and then shoot it in a wooded area.
No, you don't. That wouldn't be the voice you'd use.
No.
Brian made my point better than I could. This is why we're using that voice. All right, that was pretty great.
All right, I will argue that our Southern accents are way more varied. Like, I'm doing Matthew McConaughey in one of those. Mm-hmm. We're doing, like, yeah.
All
over the place.
Yeah, yeah.
Justin Wilson.
I agree. It was a nice
Skeeter
selection of Southern hospitality. All right?
All right. Yes, exactly.
Well done, everybody. And thank you for the reminder. I would have screwed that up. I would have been pissed I didn't hear that. All right. Well done.
Oh,
that's it.
The cable guy just wrote and said, oh, that's a real good mashup there. Oh,
yeah.
No problem.
Did a real cable good guy. Job.
All right.
Glad you like that.
Yeah, we're glad too. We're out of here. That's it. Thanks, everybody, for everything. We'll be back again, like I said, tomorrow. Back Monday, of course, with regular shows and all sorts of stuff in between. So just check out the feeds and the mega feed and the site and the Twitters and whatnot. All right. I think that's it. Brian, do you want to take us out with musical selection song?
I will do exactly that.
Okay.
Sean Dickinson wrote in and said, hey there, Scotch and bourbon. Don't forget the gin. This year, I'm financially having to do the quarantine birthday thing on February. Oh, finally, not financially. I was like, that didn't make sense. This year, I'm finally having to do the quarantine birthday thing on February 27th. Last year, I got to actually have a party before the lockdown, but this year I just have to enjoy it with my fiance. Aw. I always loved ELO and Mr. Blue Sky. Always makes me feel good. I hope you both have a wonderful day. Signed, Sean Dickinson. Dude, it's my favorite ELO song as well. And I think it's my favorite Marvel, like my favorite MCU moment is the beginning of Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2 with Groot dancing to this as the gang fights some evil big space creature.
Yep.
I think it's my favorite segment.
It's really good.
Sequence. Anyway, I think Lily Allen likes it too because she recorded this both for her fan club and for the BBC Radio 1. We're going to play her fan club release. This came out in 2007. I'm pretty sure this is produced by Greg Kurstin, half of The Bird and the Bee. It just sounds like it's part of his production style. Mm. Here's Lily Allen and her cover of ELO's Mr. Blue Sky.
Why we have to hide away for sorrow? Where do we go? This show is part of the Frog Pants Network.
Frog Pants Network.
Get more shows like this at frogpants.com.
Foul-smelling maggot!